Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Kylie, it's time. Let me see how you look in your new dress, her mom called to her 8-year-old daughter. No answer. Kylie, let me see how pretty you look. No answer. Kylie's mom headed for her daughter's room. What? She opened the door and peeked in. Why aren't you dressed? She noticed Kylie's new dress crumpled on the floor and Kylie lying on her bed with her chin in her hands. Is something wrong? She sat down beside her daughter. Mom, Kylie looked up plaintively, do we have to go to Aunt Karen and Uncle Cal's? I just don't want to see everyone right now. But what about your new dress? You loved getting it. I thought you were excited to wear it, her mom countered. I wanted Dad to see me wear it. Kylie looked up, her cheeks wet. It's just not a holiday when he's not here. I know. Her mom gave her a hug. I know. From a parent's perspective, what can we do to help children when a parent is absent at a time of celebration? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest was one of the authors of an American Psychological Association's publication, Resilience in a Time of War. Dr. Mary Alvord is a licensed psychologist with almost 30 years of clinical experience. She incorporates cognitive behavioral therapy and a systems approach, specializing in the treatment of children, adolescents, and adults with anxiety disorders, and children and teens with ADHD and problems of emotional and behavioral regulation. For the past 15 years, Dr. Alvord's focus has been on resilience and strength-based approaches. She has 3 grown sons. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Alvord.
Thank you so much for having me.
How do children view a celebration when they know a parent will be absent?
Celebration and holidays come with great expectations, and it's important that these expectations be tempered with reality. I think that the children's age and their developmental level also makes a difference in terms of how they might view it. Young children will often see large family get-togethers, perhaps, or gifts that they focus on, whereas as the children get older and teens are more realistic about the situation and can really feel emotionally more the absence of the parent.
Is there a difference between a child's outlook when a parent is deployed in the military versus being away due to divorce or travel? I guess that also is age-related.
I think all of these are age-related because with adults, we have reached a maturity and think of things in a more similar way. But of course, developmentally, young children are going to see things very differently. But I think children miss their parent no matter what the reason that they're away. But I think there's some important differences. Children whose parents have separated or divorced have also been exposed perhaps to some preceding or even continuing conflict. Their home situation has changed. They might have moved, or perhaps they're moving back and forth between the parents. And so getting used to all of those changes is difficult and affects them emotionally. And parents are constantly, I think, working on creating new schedules and routines as the children get older. Mostly, I think when parents are deployed, the parent remaining has to change the role and take over many of the functions that the other parent has taken. But the children, for the most part, have a stable life. Their home is the same home. And they're looking to the parent coming back. So those all create stresses, both situations. But I think no matter what, the parents are missed by the children.
Is there an overlay when a parent is deployed that there's fear that the parent could be injured or might not come back, or does that not filter down to the kids?
Oh, I think it filters down. I think so much depends on what they are told and the attitude of the parent who remains. So we're role models for our children, and I think how we act is probably even more important than what we say to our children. And I think if we are looking forward with an optimistic view that the parent is coming back, but also tempered with reality, because it may be for some of the soldiers are deployed for quite a long period of time. So it has to all be tempered with that.
Dr. Alvord, what would you say is the biggest trap adults can fall into in this situation?
I think that we as parents often fall into the trap of assuming what the children or the teens are thinking and feeling. I think that's the greatest trap, and it's critical that we really listen to them and what they're saying. We are often surprised by what they think and what they say, especially young children. They often misinterpret things, mishear things, or they might hear an aunt or an uncle say something, and you never know quite how they're interpreting it. So it's very important to try to get that information. Just as in your story, the girl was upset not about her dress and going to the relatives, but really missing her parent. And we have to get to the essence of what is it that they may be stressed about, maybe completely different from what we're assuming.
Are there good ways for parents to get at that? I mean, this particular story was sort of easy because the mother comes into the room and sits down and gets it all. But are there certain good things that parents could do to elicit that information?
Sitting down with the child, or even in a natural situation with a young child, playing a game within a relaxed, safe setting. Just saying, you know, I'm just wondering what you're thinking about mommy or daddy not being here for the holidays. And you can even have a leading question like, I miss mommy or daddy, and we're looking forward to this and that. And then really help with a very relaxed conversation and not push them. And often kids do best if they're doing something else, maybe while they're playing. For teens, speaking in cars are great because they're trapped. And teens are very evasive and don't want to talk about all this stuff. But it's a nice, quiet place. And if you're going somewhere, a car is a great place with a teenager.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of special occasions when a parent is absent.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Mary Alvord about dealing with special occasions when a parent is absent. How can adults on site be the most supportive? Is there something that we need to know that maybe we wouldn't have thought of?
I think the most overlooked is that we as adults often don't take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the greatest mistake that we can make, because in order to take care of our kids very well, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to make sure that our stress level is under control, that we've really reached out to our support systems for the support that we need, families, friends, neighbors, whoever, coworkers might be, to really give the adults the support that they need. And I think, again, they can be supportive by listening to their children, what are the children feeling, and helping them come up with some ideas of how we can handle the holidays, maybe in a special, it's going to be different. So maybe they can do some special things with their children. Parents need to be supportive by creating healthy routines. And what we often overlook are, and what gets out of whack during holidays, are eating and sleeping routines.
Mm-hmm.
And while that is so basic, it is so critical to, and we know, we get cranky if we're not eating or sleeping properly. And during the holidays, when the schools are closed and we're going out and eating more and sleeping less, it can really get the kids out of sync.
What kind of preparation would you recommend?
Though we all have to learn how to deal with uncertainty, the more we can plan in advance, the less stress we have. And I think it's important to let the kids know who will and who won't be around during the holidays, mm-hmm. and what will happen and what probably won't happen, so that their expectations are in line with what will really happen. I'd also suggest incorporating some of the old routines that you've had when the parent was at home, so that there's some comfort level with that. And then creating some new ones, perhaps going to a new place, perhaps having special foods or special games that you play, so that it becomes incorporated into the holiday routine. The other possibility is communication with the parent who's away and making sure now we can use email. And I know in our office we often make audio tapes with a digital recorder, and then I just attach it to an email and send it off to someone. So with today's technology, we may be very far in terms of miles, but there are ways to have the parent close by. The other technique we use a lot in our practice is, and parents have found this very valuable, is having a compliment basket. It's a basket or a box or anything that you want, and you write positive things about the children. The kids can write positive things about their parents, and you put this in a box. And this can be done with the parent who's away, because the parent can email, even if they're not physically available through telephone or other means, but they can email comments, and this can be put in the compliment basket. And so, because of the time change, particularly for the people who are deployed, they're not going to be able to call during Thanksgiving dinner or other holidays, those can be read from the parent and from the parent that's there, and siblings can write compliments to each other. It's a very powerful and positive tool, and it's something that you can keep. So you can read it that day, but then the kids have the basket available for other times.
You go into it anytime you want to?
You can go into it anytime you want to. Nice if you designate a special time so that everyone is there to read it together. But I think it can be available for kids. They like to see positive things about themselves, but they also have that connection then with their parent.
Are there certain personality traits that are especially good predictors of a child's ability to manage a difficult separation? And if so, can we foster any of these, perhaps?
Well, the good news is we can foster a great many of these characteristics and skills. There are temperaments that lend themselves to better adaptability among kids who are easier to calm themselves, who tend to go with the flow and are flexible. But it's really the great news that resilience, which is something that I have been involved with for many years, can be learned, and we can foster these skills. There are skills that we use to cope with challenges.
Would you clarify for us and for our listeners what resilience actually is?
Resilience is the ability to cope with challenges, such as even things like learning difficulties. It doesn't all have to be situational challenges. And hardships as well. We've learned a lot in the last 15 years or so, and looking at 9/11 and other of the tragedies too. What can we foster in children? So we can look at things like self-regulation, learning to calm yourself down. So for children, even teaching them relaxation exercises, there's yoga for kids, there are deep breathing strategies, and many of these can be found through the internet. Learning what each child can do. Perhaps for teens, a lot of them like to listen to music, and it's a way for them to calm down, or to read for many children. And you really need to look at the children and ask them what kinds of things can relax them and suggest other ways. So that's one category, self-regulation. I think the greatest is the social network, making sure that children have friends, that they have support in schools, they may be on teams and coaches and adults that can be positive influence. But the ability to make those social connections with people is another huge characteristic of resilience.
There are some schools that actually include yoga in the curriculum and meditation and deep breathing techniques. What a life benefit for the children that go there.
I think one of the greatest that we emphasize is being proactive. That is, not feeling like you're a victim, not being passive, but whatever difficulty you have is learning and recognizing that while you can't control everything, there are aspects you can control. You can't control that your parent is not there with you. But you can control doing things to bring them, in essence, closer to you during the holidays, their activities. Robert Brooks talks about the island of competence. He's a psychologist at Harvard and has written a book, and I'll give a resource for his book. But he writes a great deal about resilience and talks about islands of competence. And every one of us has something that we are good at. We may not be great. We may not be great at sports, but we may be terrific observers of it. We may not be great artists, but we may appreciate art and beauty. And that is part of what we're working on.
I remember when one of my children was on a soccer team in middle school, and there was one child in that class who really could never be a part of the soccer team. He just was so not a coordinated child. But he was the biggest fan, and he ran up and down the side of the field cheering his friends. And we all said he was a very important part. The kids recognized it, too, that he was an important part of their team.
Right.
One of my sons was on a swim team during the summer, and there was a little boy who may have been slightly younger developmentally. I'm not sure whether it was physical or whether it was just that's the way he was. And he was on the team, and he never won a race. And it took him a long time to finish. You know, everybody would be out of the water, and this little one would still be finishing his lap. But he always finished. And I remember saying to my son, this is really important. He's always finished. And this child grew up to be a Marine.
So perseverance. And I think we often in society do make the mistake of giving the accolades to the kids who perform so well. And truly, resilient characteristic is that of perseverance. We may not be that great at it, but boy, if we keep working at it, we do get better. I believe in our ability to take on things and do well.
Isn't it Thomas Edison who said that inventive genius was 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration?
Exactly, exactly.
You've already mentioned that there is a role for extended family, school, neighborhood, and so forth, all the people surrounding a child whose parent is absent from maybe some special event.
Absolutely. And I think extended family, friends, coaches, teachers, all can root for the kids. And I think particularly for parents who are deployed, it's important, I think, that the schools recognize the courageous aspect of those who are deployed and so that the children can have that pride in the parent. I think that is critical to acknowledge. And if the schools and others don't think of it, then the parent at home can help guide and suggest, because often we can advocate for our children, and I think that's an important way to advocate. The other is for many people, religious organizations, religious people, or spiritual organizations, clubs, youth clubs, all of those things are supports. One thing that the resilience literature has shown is that even with the absence of a parent, when if it's one parent raising a child, as long as it's a warm, loving, caring parent who can set limits, have the discipline there, but that child can do very well. And for parents and families that have difficulties, perhaps an alcoholic parent, that often people outside of the family can play a major role. And often coaches, they don't realize that, but play a significant role in a child's life.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of special occasions when a parent is absent.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Mary Alvord about dealing with special occasions when a parent is absent.
Often I would think, especially if there's a father figure missing, for example, then a coach, the coach is a male, might fill that role in some way.
And again, I think the parents who are at home can advocate for their child. Many of the schools now are starting mentoring programs, and it's not even necessarily a weekly program, but a special adult to take interest in this child. And for children whose parents have gone through separation and divorce, it's important to find some key family members that they can talk to who are neutral, who they don't feel like are taking sides. And so often children feel like they're caught in the middle, even if no one is really putting them there purposefully, but they may feel that. And it's important to have neutral grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever.
Which means that holiday times and times of celebration are really good times for parents to have their antenna up to try to find someone in that group.
Absolutely. And again, to find someone for themselves to support them so that they can then support their children more.
Doesn't have to be the same person. No. In fact, it's probably better not to have it be the same person. What about a very difficult situation if both parents have to be absent, for example, if both parents are deployed?
It is a difficult situation. And I think so often when we are under stress is when we can be creative in our ways to cope and help our children cope with stress. And I think out of this, resilience grows. So though it is very difficult, I think we can look to the strengths of the entire system, who the child or children are staying with, and how they can recreate some of the routines that the parents would have, and how those parents can, in essence, be there again via email, the compliment basket, audio tapes, videotapes. You know, holidays just create these high expectations. And I think that's what's so hard. And so then we're often disappointed because the expectations and reality don't jive. So I think as much as possible, being part of the holiday, sending pictures. And I think when both parents are deployed, it's another aspect I didn't mention is helping others. And I think for the holiday season, it is a giving and a receiving, but part of resilience is also reaching out and helping others. So I think particularly important when both parents are deployed is finding some support groups or finding some other children who are in the same situation, and then perhaps even doing something to help others in this situation. It makes us feel more empowered when we can help others.
One of the things we haven't really discussed is warning signs that parents need to be aware of, I guess, for themselves and for their children, of anxiety or depression or something that merits some kind of intervention.
Right. I think for children, depression shows up differently than for adults. I mean, for adults, we seem sad and we can talk about it and be glooming. For children, it's often irritability. So we really look at behavioral signs. If there's a sudden change in behavior, if they suddenly become irritable, if they become withdrawn, if they're not sleeping well, if they're not eating well, which are some of the signs also for adults. But again, depression doesn't show up in children the same way, and I think that's really key. Change in grades for school, we need to look at that. But withdrawal is one of the keys.
Now we need to suggest to our listeners some references, some resources that they can look at if they want to pursue further some of the issues we've been discussing. Got suggestions?
Well, I do. The American Psychological Association has a wonderful website. It's www.apahelpcenter.org, and it is a consumer website which allows people to order brochures on resilience during a time of war. And that's broken up for preschool children, elementary, middle school, teenagers. And then there's also a Road to Resilience, which is for adults. And there was a documentary made with the Discovery Health Channel at some point. And there are just many. You can do a search engine and get information on anxiety, depression, warning signs, just a variety of topics. And there's a number to call to. The other resource would be for your state psychological association. They have referral sources, and they are most helpful in just helping guide people to other resources. In terms of books, I had mentioned Robert Brooks, and he and Sam Goldstein wrote a book called Raising Resilient Children in 2001. And there's more in the literature now on raising resilient children. I think the phenomenal thing is that we really can teach children all of these skills, and that's our hope. We can be optimistic. Optimism is set in reality. We need to know what is the reality, but how can we view things so that we view things when things are negative in a seeing them as temporary and not global and over-encompassing. So if mommy or daddy are away, it is a temporary situation, and they hopefully will be back.
Well, Dr. Mary Alvor, this has been a very enlightening conversation for us and also for our listeners, of course. And so thank you very much for being with us and talking about how we cope with a celebration or a holiday when a parent isn't there.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 388 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.